Okay, that comes to our second. For those of you that just came into the room, we have two graduate students that have signed up for this competition, and both of them will receive awards. They're fighting over first and second place. And so thank you all for attending this. This is also one of the first of three sessions for the sensor-based nutrient management community. And we'll have a symposium after this with three speakers, and then we'll have a business meeting. And one of the items on our business meeting, for those of you that may be interested, will be dissolving this community, because there are a lot of papers that could have gone here that went other places, and that's okay. The role of a community is to come in when there's a need and go away when there's not. And so we'll be discussing that at our business meeting at 11:30. So anyway, our next speaker is Ashley Lawrence from Kansas State University, using handheld crop sensors to enhance yield and nitrogen use efficiency of wheat.
Thank you for the introduction, and thank you all for coming. My name is Ashley Lawrence, a master's student at Kansas State University, and today I'll be presenting you using handheld crop sensors to enhance yield and nitrogen use efficiency of wheat. Just a little background: nitrogen mineralization and nitrate nitrogen content in Kansas soils can vary dramatically across the state due to weather conditions from year to year. Soil testing is a proven effective method for nitrogen management in winter wheat. Farmers typically do not utilize the profile soil testing for nitrogen management as a tool. Optical sensors can be implemented for nitrogen management strategies. The two main objectives of the study was to demonstrate to Kansas farmers how the use of inexpensive crop sensors can identify nitrogen differences and evaluate the effectiveness of two KSU nitrogen recommendation algorithms. The materials and methods for the study were: 8 field studies across Kansas were established, 9 treatments of N rates, sensor readings at key growth stages of Pekes 4, 7, and 9. And then the first version of the algorithm is NRS version 1.5, single top dress nitrogen management, which was established in 2013 using newer technology, which was designed for just at Pekes 4, which is tillering, and no reference strip was needed. The other algorithm is the RK version 2.6, intensive N management, established in 2011 using older technology, which was designed to be used through Pekes 4 through 9 and requires the use of a nitrogen reference strip. The nitrogen reference strips at the locations were applied late fall, early winter, statistical method in SAS 9.3 using the mixed procedure with an alpha level of 0.1. Soil testing for the surface samples was 0 to 15 centimeters, tested for organic matter, phosphorus, potassium, and zinc, and the profile sample of 15 to 16 centimeters was sampled and tested for nitrate, chloride, and sulfate. Here's a table of our different treatments, material timing, and rates. Main treatment was just broadcast using urea, and the different N rates range from 0 to 140, and also the soil test and the two algorithm sensor-based. The optical sensor that was used in the study was the Trimble handheld Green Seeker, an approximate cost of $495. With this cost, it's more inexpensive for a farmer to use in the management strategies. It immersed bursts of red and in near-infrared light, measuring at 660 and 780 nanometers, measuring the amount of each type of light that is reflected back from the plant. Vegetation index of red and NIR used to calculate normalized difference vegetation index, known as NDVI. And here we have the location, or not the location, the equation and the picture of the Green Seeker used. These are the locations in Kansas where the sites were established. Going from the eastern part of Kansas, the typical weather for rainfall is between 900 and 1100 millimeters, to western Kansas of 500 to 700 milliliters, which is the drought part of Kansas. So that plays in a role of mineralized organic N, plays a role in wheat nutrition. especially in drought areas where there's low moisture, not only limits the crop growth, but also limits the soil microbe activity. So when the drought breaks and soil rewets, there is a flush of microbial activity releasing nitrogen, sulfur, and phosphorus for available crop uptake. This is all very beneficial, but very hard to predict the potential available uptake for crops. Here's a few pictures taken at soil sampling at one of our locations, which is Lebanon. And as you can see in the top picture, we have the county excision agent and the producer that we're working with on that site. And we are working with whole fields, not experimental small plot fields. This graph here, we have by location soil nitrate levels with the sites at the, on the X and the Y is the soil nitrate levels. As you can see, there's two locations that are relatively low in fall soil nitrate levels, Clearwater and Sabetha, where the other areas have a higher level. Again, this is the same graph, but showing our credit default level for residual nitrogen, which is about 34 kilograms per hectare. And at the bottom is the equation, how we figure for the KSU soil test recommendations, how we get that default credit. And with the two locations, with Clearwater and Sabetha, Clearwater is just at the default level, and Sabetha is just a hair over the default level. With the other six locations, you can see there's a high level, resulting in over-fertilization. This graph is a standard, farmer standard in rate across locations, and this is based on the farmer yield goal of 567 to 680 kilograms per hectare, based on different locations throughout Kansas, it varies. Here's a few pictures of harvest of a couple locations, Mound Ridge and Clearwater, and we use the Windows Sire. This graph is our in rate response by location with our in rates going from 0 to 140 with the yield on the Y. And as you can see, there's really not a response to nitrogen, but the one that we can see pretty clearly is the Sabetha line right here. Had a response, which is shown here in our table of response to rates of nitrogen applied of to yield results. And with Sabetha was the only statistically significant site, which is more than likely caused by Sabetha had rain early in the season, which were heavy rains, resulting in wet soils, high moisture, and humidity, which led to disease loss. With that, there's a likely result of lower end mineralization and compared to the other sites, and also created conditions for denitrification loss, thus making Sabetha the only site that was statistically significant to response rates of nitrogen. Here's our slide of nitrogen recommendation differences compared to farmer standard rate with our locations, with their in rate differences on the Y. As you can see, with soil testing, you can save, if you do soil testing, you can help save yourself of fertilizer input cost. And with the two sensor algorithms at FIKIS 4 and FIKIS 4 and 7, they perform just as well as the soil tests, if not better. And depending on the location throughout Kansas, there is a variance from, or two locations that were low in the fall soil nitrate levels of Clearwater and Sabetha to the rest of the areas that were high. In some areas, these different sensors performed better. So in conclusion, soil testing continues to be a proven method for improving nitrogen management. Soil testing alone could have saved close to $39 per hectare in nitrogen fertilizer cost. The single application algorithm, NRS version 1.5, showed an advantage in this growing season by detecting in stress, potential biomass response, and max attainable yield. Using use of crop sensors on whole field or management zone level could have saved an additional 6.35 kilograms of nitrogen over soil testing and approximately $57 per hectare. Enhancing nitrogen use efficiency through the adoption of soil testing and or use of the active optical sensors is a possible, in most cases, highly economical. In just one of these fields in 2015, a grower could save $760 to $3,080 just by using sensor-based nitrogen rates on a 32-point hectare field. Additional research is needed to continue the development and validation of the KSU nitrogen rec algorithms. Here are my acknowledgments, Dr. Dave Meaglesoul, fertility specialist, my major professor, Dr. Ray Acevedo, Precision Ag, and also thanking our collaborating of county extension agents and producers. And this project was funded by industry. Any questions?
We have plenty of time for questions.
Yeah.
That very low response to nitrogen in most places, is that common?
Yeah, it depends on the year we have with weather and also your location. If it's in eastern and western Kansas, it can vary dramatically just on your response. I'll go back there. Most farmers use just the surface sample. They don't use the profile sampling method for the nitrogen through the profile. So some of the farmers don't even use a soil test, and so they just kind of estimate from their previous year yield goals or what they've applied before to achieve their goal.
Oh, I wasn't clear. So it looks like farmers can save money just by using less nitrogen.
Yep.
Without using any tests at all.
On this slide?
Yeah, so if they just said, I'm going to use 50 kilograms per hectare less nitrogen, I'm not going to do any tests, I'm just going to use less than I've been using. That would save them.
Well, yes and no. They would want to take a soil sample just to see how much their levels are before they decide that they're not going to fertilize. Because without knowing their level, if they hadn't soil tests sampled, then you can't just automatically just assume, I'm just going to apply less.
Not using any tests and putting on a high amount.
Right.
An alternative would be to not use any tests and put on a lower amount.
Use tests to put on a lower amount.
And a third alternative would be to not use any tests and put on a lower amount. What I'm trying to distinguish is how much of the cost savings benefit could be achieved by just using less nitrogen versus using less nitrogen based on tests.
I'd have to look into that. So.
Is it possible that the kind of flat yield response to increasing N rates is just related to a high background level event carrying over to previous years?
Yeah, it can be, and also with our weather conditions that occurred in Kansas this year with the cool and wet in the fall and not much rain in the spring, until later in the season, can affect that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.